your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant EN Media. We are live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com. Tune in radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and a plethora of other platforms. Hello, one and all, to the NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver post-show here on RantEMRadio.com. We are live on Facebook as well. And my goodness. What a main event we just witnessed from Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. We'll talk about that in just a second. Double A being joined by the Silver One himself.
Good evening.
And I don't know, we may or may not be joined by Tony C. I think we also, it's possible, we might be joined by the Impact player, Mr. Philip J. Ray. I don't know. Not sure, please, but we'll see.
Please do.
What do you mean, please do?
Yeah, I love hearing from Phil.
Yeah, so if Phil, if you're listening and you're, you see, Phil was going to be on the air on Tuesday with us for a little bit, and unfortunately, Phil popped a pill for a little pain he was having and passed out during the Hall of Fame, so he fell asleep, which is understandable. It happens, you know. I'm waiting to pop a pain pill myself, but I'm waiting till after I do this show. You know, but yes. We're in the midst of our WrestleMania marathon week. We're right in the middle of it. No, not really. Actually, I think tomorrow would be the midpoint, because then after tomorrow, there's still five more days to go, and tomorrow marks day five. So tomorrow's the midpoint, and it's been exciting. It's been exciting so far. We did an hour on Tuesday. We'll probably do about 30 minutes to an hour today. And the fun will just continue through next Tuesday when we do a full episode of The Rant, and also talk about NXT on their first episode on Tuesday nights as well. But if you're listening to us live for the very first time, welcome. Join us. Here, we've got shows all week long here on the network. And, of course, if you're listening to us on Facebook, go to RantEMRadio.com to be a part of the chat room. Now, I want to say something. If you're listening to this program either live or in rotation, so basically if you're listening to it on the feed later on, our downloads are currently not working. Okay, so you cannot download new shows. Basically, the Shiny Wizards episode from Monday was the last show that's available for download. Any show that we do from here until this gets fixed, which I'm hoping it'll be any day now, those shows will not be available for download. So you have to listen to these shows live until this gets fixed, or listen to the feed in rotation. I promise you, once this is fixed, all this will be available for download. But in the interim, like a lot of people were asking me, where was the Hall of Fame post show? It is posted. The problem is the download feed, the service, is not working right now. I'm currently working with the provider to get it working and clear some stuff up. That way we can make it available on iTunes and things like that.
Are you saying you can stream it without not downloading?
We can stream it, but we cannot download it. Exactly. So, if you're listening to us live, great. But if you're listening to us on a replay, this is right now, until this is fixed, is the only way we can air the show. So, we will rebroadcast this show immediately following the initial airing, and then, of course, it'll be made, it'll be put into rotation with all the other shows. So let's, I just want to clear that up. Let me recap also the rest of the schedule for the week. Tomorrow you'll get a brand new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks at around 7 o'clock at night. Saturday, the schedule for Saturday has changed a little bit. The times haven't. There's just been an addition. 5 o'clock, the Four Horsemen Roundtable on Saturday afternoon. 7 o'clock, the Midnight Jury will do a wrestling pre-show-esque. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be WrestleMania-related, but they are going to be live on the air doing a pre-show. And then they will also be, that show will be taped, but they will be live at 8 o'clock, and they will be giving live updates for WrestleMania as they do their normal second Saturday of the month show. So they will be live 8 o'clock. They will come off the air at around 11 when WrestleMania goes off the air, and we will come back on and give the night one recap. Set on Sunday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be live at 4 p.m. They will give you a full pre-show, plus I'm assuming there will be a throwback, but they have free reigns. They have a window of 4 hours to do whatever they want on Sunday. Then we'll be back on the air at the conclusion of WrestleMania with a full post-show. Monday, the Shining Wizards will be live at 7, and then, of course, the rant live at 9. And then the marathon wraps up next Wednesday with the Mark Order podcast at 10 o'clock. Oh, exhausting, man. Good Lord. Nah, I forgot how tiring this was considering that we didn't do a marathon last year. Anyways, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. So far, everything has gone very smoothly with the exception of this download issue. Everything has gone smoothly so far, so I've got no complaints. All right, let's get right to it. And, of course, night one was last night, NXT. Now, let's preface this by saying it was the last head-to-head Wednesday night between NXT and Dynamite. And it was apropos that NXT beat Dynamite in the ratings last night. And by a significant margin. Dynamite did 600. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm saying, it wasn't close what the two shows were yesterday.
No. Oh, wait a minute. We've got some breaking news that we're going to. Hold on. I believe we've got some breaking news that has just come across the wire. Let me see if I can confirm this. We are getting breaking news that DMX has passed away.
Oh, no.
So there you go. So, that is breaking news on the pop culture avenue, so.
You got to play some DMX on the way out tonight.
I guess so. Let's see here. Who's reporting this? At Saint, which is a an entertainment Twitter feed and culture, and they have a whole bunch of other things, has passed away. Now, of course, we're waiting for other confirmation. That is the only verified source that is saying this, but we will see. We'll see. Well, if we can get confirmation on that, we will let everybody know. But let's start with night one. So they. NXT did beat, I'm going to tell you what the numbers were. NXT did beat Dynamite in the ratings by a good amount. I mean, in terms of general ratings, it wasn't a huge difference, but in wrestling ratings, it was a substantial difference. Let me see here. Where's Brian Alvarez's thing? You know what? Screw it. The hell with Brian Alvarez. I'll tell you right now. Here's the viewership numbers. Okay. for last night's episode, AEW did 688,000 viewers, NXT did 768,000. AEW won the demo with a 0.28 rating, and NXT came in with a 0.22, but they still had more viewers, and then but AEW's ratings had been dropping in recent weeks. They had been struggling to stay in the 700s for the last several weeks. So, but yeah, so now we're going to see next week what AEW's ratings are. We'll find out next week. But so, Surfer, did you watch both nights?
Yes.
You did watch both nights. Where'd you watch yesterday?
What do you mean, where?
Where did you
watch? I watched it on cable.
You watched on the USA Network?
Yes.
Okay. I did, too, because I was flipping back and forth between Dynamite, Married at First Sight, and NXT, and I was able to watch everything. But I did watch the pre-show on Peacock.
I like my DVR functions of going back and rewinding, so.
Yeah, I did that a lot too, and you know, we've come a long way, that's for sure. That is for damn sure. But things kicked off on Peacock. Zoe Stark, she defeated Toni Storm in a one-on-one contest.
Look that match.
And on the call for that match was Mickey James with Vic Joseph. For those of you who don't know, Mickey James has been doing a lot of color commentary in recent months.
I kind of hate to ask this, but I'm a little confused as to Zoe Stark's ethnicity.
I don't know if we know what it is, to be honest with you. Let's see. Can
so
we
I'm
find
the only one that can't tell.
Let's see. Lacey Ryan. She was born in Utah. Yeah, I guess that's it. She is, if I were to put it, she's probably, nah, she's white.
Or maybe she was biracial.
I don't know. She's got some characteristics that don't. I'm looking at different pics. I think if you look at her in a certain angle, you may get that inclination.
Now, I don't think she is, though. Coming in to the building yesterday with Io Shirai,
mm-hmm.
You really couldn't tell.
Right. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I think we're going to get Phil in here. Oh, Phil's going to be home in 10 minutes. So
Don't rush too fast, Phil. We want to drive safely.
That's right. Because, you know, driving on those sidewalks there in Philly, or not Philly, in New York, in Staten Island. I'm going to add you. I'm going to stop the calling, but Phil, so you, when you're ready to call in, you just call in and it'll bring you up automatically. Anyways, I'm looking at Zoe Stark from this angle. Okay. Anyways, it was an okay match. Nothing out of the world. I'm a Toni Storm fan anyways. The next match on the docket, Kushida against Pete Dunne.
Yeah, I thought Kushida wasn't going to go over, but no.
I have an issue with, it's not that I have an issue, like a personal issue. I have an issue, a mental issue, watching Pete Dunne's matches, at least when he gets to the part where he's breaking the fingers. Because even though that he's not really doing it, that thing always makes me jump when he does it. Always. It's like when Shayna Baszler does that thing with the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Always. I can't watch it. It makes me. I turn away or I can't. Yeah. I squirm a lot when I see those moves. Especially the finger one, as simple as that is, it's like, I can almost feel it of how bad it is. planet. Pete Dunne went over on Kushida, and if I heard that smack correctly, that was the Impact player Phil Rhea.
Yo,
what's up, Philip?
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm okay. I was at the girlfriend's house watching NXT.
Oh, you were
at the girlfriend's. It was a really, really nice day in New York City. I actually had a barbecue. Wanted to stay on the couch watching NXT.
I mean, I know you had a big day today because you had NXT. It was the Mets home opener.
Oh, it was crazy.
With that ridiculous call at the very end.
And they got away with it. That guy was not hit at all.
If I was Don Mattingly, I would really.
He was out of his mind.
Yeah, but I don't think he was out of his mind enough. Like, he didn't lose enough.
They could.
Of his shit.
I mean, they could protest. I mean, at this point, it's.
Yeah.
But this is the first time since 2009 I'm not at the game. I wasn't going to pay $170 for that ticket. That's
ridiculous. And listen, I get it. WrestleMania, the same situation. It's in Tampa. There was no plans for me to go to WrestleMania, regardless of the price. But the prices that I'm hearing for the tickets to go to WrestleMania, I don't care if you're 20. If the 25,000 people that'll be there on Saturday and on Sunday, God bless you. If you've got that kind of money to burn, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, how much is
it? I think the nosebleed seats are north of 150. And while that doesn't sound like a lot, I know from WrestleMania's past that the closer you get to the ring, it skyrockets. Like, when I went to WrestleMania in Orlando, and I wasn't in the nosebleeds, but I was in the back section by the entranceway, and I paid $300 for my ticket. So,
I understand why they're doing it to opening day.
Yeah.
But, you charge almost four times the price of the ticket. Because normally before taxes, that ticket that you wear usually sit in the upper deck is like 25, 30 bucks before taxes. Mm-hmm. So it comes up to like 40 bucks a ticket depending on which section. It's in it's a box seat, but it's the same section every time.
Yeah.
But come on, man. I'm not paying $170. You know,
they're trying to make up what they didn't make last year.
Yeah. So it's the principles. You know what? I got a 70-inch TV. I had a fridge full of snacks. I ordered myself lunch that I probably couldn't get at City Field. So it was like,
that's true.
I was good.
That's good.
Watched a ton of wrestling, so.
Yeah, you know what? This weekend I'm going to eat a lot of crap that I probably shouldn't eat. I've already eaten a lot of crap. I mean, I've gone through a box of fudge rounds and I'm going through through my discounted Easter candy and things like that, but over the weekend, though, I've already got, I've got wings on my mind. I've already said I want pizza. Damn it, I want a real pizza at some point this weekend.
Wait, say wings? We're talking about Wingstop or Buffalo Wild Wings?
We're talking about just wings, period.
Yeah, now the girlfriend's putting out a spread. I think Rob and Elena coming out Saturday.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, good. Mikey's punished. He fell asleep in class. Come on, man! How do you fall asleep in class? You're not even there sometimes.
So he's
he's grounded. So he's no WrestleMania fan.
He's a young punk kid. I mean, these things happen.
Yeah. You know what? The thing is, too. It's like he's not that kid. You know, he's not the normal punk kid. But now I guess he's becoming a punk. And it's bothering me.
I gotta tell you, I told Phil this when I saw that video of him dancing. I swear I thought it was the same kid that just learned how to walk on stilts, because he is, I mean, two more weeks and he's not going to be able to walk through a door without ducking.
He's a big kid, man. So I said to him, I'm like, yo, how do you do that, man? I can't even argue with your dad and your mom on this. I said, dude, how do you fall asleep in class? And I don't even know if it was virtual, in class. I didn't even ask him. I didn't get to that point. I was like, you know what? No WrestleMania if you've done.
I had a reason, history class. I'll never forget it. I had a primo real estate in history class my junior year in high school. Okay. And history was after lunch. So when you're talking a prime desk post lunch in a boring class, that is a recipe for disaster. So my desk was in the back of the room in the corner, so I could wedge myself against that little corner of the wall, rest my head back, and just pass out. And then I'll never forget, his name was Mr. Jimenez. And one day, everybody took this test. The next day we come to class, and he's going, okay, Carolina Rodriguez, you got an A. Alberto Delgado, he was one of my friends that sat next to me, you got a B. And he comes up to me, he goes, Mr. Double A, he goes, do you want me to tell you what you got on your test? And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. You got an F. I said, oh, all right. He goes, maybe, just maybe, you shouldn't sleep every day during my class. Try not, maybe pick 2 or 3 days during the week to sleep, and then the rest you pay attention. So,
yeah.
I put myself on mute there for a second, but yeah. But it was prime real. You don't get desks like that too often.
Not after lunch. I didn't have lunch in high school at all. I opted out so I can get home. So I could get out early instead of like, you know, 2 something. I got like 1 something. So the last time I had a lunch break was like 8:30.
No, I mean, imagine you eat a chicken patty, a chocolate milk, and a bag of chips at 11:30 in the morning. You go to class at 12. And you go into your little cubby hole in the corner, and you just, you know, I don't give a damn what...
Get the itis.
Yeah, exactly. I don't give a damn what happened during the American Revolution. The hell with that. I'm more concerned about being rested so I can go home later tonight and watch Monday Nitro.
That's right.
You know, but anyways.
Well, Thunder if it was Thunder, Thursday.
Thunder if it was Thursday. I think SmackDown by then. I was a junior in high school, so probably even SmackDown was on at that point as well. So, but yeah, my goodness. Anyways, back to this. You watch both nights, Phil?
I did. I'm all caught up.
Okay. What'd you think of Pete Dunne and Kushida?
You know, it's real strange seeing Kushida in this role because he's probably next to Liger, one of the most decorated light heavyweights in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to come here and lose these pay-per-view, but, you know, like takeover matches and stuff. It was a good match, you know. It's just weird seeing Kushida in that light doing the JOB to a lot of guys now. But I thought the match was solid, though.
Yeah, I mean, any match with Pete Dunne generally is solid, you know.
Yeah. Now he's, and I remember I had a conversation with Choppy about 3 years ago. Choppy said this kid's going to be amazing. He was following you, Casey, and I was not. And he was all over. He was like, "Yo, this kid's going to be this kid's going to be the goods." And I was like, "Yeah, he is. He's awesome. He's awesome." So,
all right. The next match was the 6-man gauntlet eliminator match. The winner would go on to face Johnny Gargano, which happened tonight. It was Bronson Reed defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight, Dexter Loomis, and Leon Ruff. And of course, the match started. This was where the issue was between the Peacock feed and the USA Network feed, because this match started on Peacock. With Swerve Scott and Leon Ruff, Scott jumped Ruff when he was on his way out to the ring. And I didn't like this concept for this match for the most part. I like the gauntlet format, but the eliminator part I didn't like too much. I like when it's the one-on-one thing and then one in, one out. And but it is what it is. LA Knight got eliminated very early on when he came in.
What is up with that? I mean, they touted this one out. This is a big signing. Have he won 2 matches yet?
Yeah, good point, Surfer. The only thing I could rebut with that is that the person who actually won was getting some sort of push on a follow NXT. But the guy who won was getting a push.
Well, actually, that's the first time I'm seeing Bronson Lee lose.
Well,
so I'm not
because
saying he hasn't, but the first time I've seen him lose.
Because he lost tonight. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but he had a bit of a push though. But yeah, you know what? I agree with you. I thought Knight should have won. Terrible name, but great. I love you. Like,
it reminds me of those British Knight sneakers. I mean, that's what I think of when I hear that name,
yeah.
LA Knight.
But you know, when he cuts a promo, it's very rock-ish. Not like he doesn't talk in the third person like The Rock did, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he's got that charisma, man. He's got that rock. Like, when he delivers his shit, even when he was in Impact in NWA, he's so good, man, on a stick. He really, really is.
His time will come. I'm looking at it in this sense, that if he was designated for a push, it'll be later down the road, because here's the thing. This is me coming from being, let's say I'm an NXT wrestler and I've been there for a while. I would feel a little salty if somebody walked in the door and I've been busting my ass here in NXT for a year, 2 years. I'm finally starting to get a little bit of a push, and then somebody walks in and in 2 weeks they get pushed ahead of me. And they would get a North American Championship match. I would look at it that way. So maybe his LA Knight's time will come, but it'll come not at the expense of people that maybe have been there already for a little while.
I mean, I'm not talking about somebody getting pushed, say, like Karrion Kross did, but you figure, all right, when they tell somebody new, they win like the first few matches before. You know, maybe they take the L, start taking the L's.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this guy's
spotty booking. Yeah, no, Surfer's right. It's spotty booking. I think they put too many eggs in women's certain guys' baskets, I think.
I think so. And to be honest with you, while this 1-2 night concept is great, it was fun, I enjoyed both nights, I don't know if this necessarily works for NXT. In the sense that this forces NXT, or the people that run NXT, Triple H and whoever, think about it. On a normal NXT, you've got what? 7 matches? Maybe 4 of them involve storylines and things like that. And, you know, you just have the general progression of a show from week to week in between takeovers. Here, over the course of 2 nights, they were forced to develop 12 matches, but all 12 matches had to have a storyline to back up the match. And I think that probably was too much of a plateful for NXT. And maybe because for the most part, everything is, you know, the reception has been positive for the outcome of both nights, so far from what I've read. But there's been some spotty complaints here and there, like, this doesn't sit right with me. Is it people nitpicking? I don't know if it's nitpicking, because some of the complaints have been, well, okay, that's a legitimate grievance. I don't know. I'm looking at it that way. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we know WWE's not going to repeat the night one, night two format again for WrestleMania after this year. But I don't think NXT should do this again either. I'd rather a 3-hour show than 2 2-hour shows.
I'll play devil's advocate, and say that it showcased the females a lot better.
Yes, it did. On a two night level.
If you're a fan of the female wrestler, it definitely showcased that. And now they had enough titles to actually split up where you had stories, like you said, both nights.
Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like was the Peacock feed. I was on my way home from work last night, and it kept the volume kept dropping. And I thought it was just me.
No.
But I got a call from one of my childhood friends called me up today. He was in Jersey. He's like, "Yo, man, you still watch wrestling?" I'm like, "Yeah, dummy. You do a podcast. You want to follow me on Facebook?" He's like, "Yeah." He goes, "But like, you, the feed, was it falling on you last night?" I'm like, "Yeah."
I'll tell you why. That is what we call a flaw in television production. The problem is because they were simulcasting on the USA
Network. On USA.
And they had to drop the audio to pipe it back in on USA. So the feed, the audio feed went out in one area, and then they potted it back up on both sides at the same time. So, that's the problem with doing those simulcast things, because sometimes the audio, you'll always have an issue with audio. I remember when they did the simulcast for the last Nitro, and you won't be able to find this anywhere because WWE went ahead and corrected it. But if you have a copy, and I do, if you have a copy,
we do. It's on Daily Motion that we did the podcast on it last week.
The copy of the final Nitro, the actual live version, the version that aired on TNT. Mm-hmm. The audio was all out of whack.
Yeah, it's on Daily Motion right now. It's in two parts.
But the audio that aired from on the USA Network was perfect. I don't know. Yeah. And I don't know if that was done by design. They were trying to screw over WCW one final time. Nah. I don't know. But the audio for TNT was all messed up. The USA audio was perfect. And if you go and you watch it on the network, both audios have been completely corrected.
So. You see, if they're not gonna stick with the two night thing for Mania next year, they could still do NXT in two nights to enhance the weekend. However, just tell your stories. You know, don't jam it down our throats.
Now you have
enough time to do it. If they're gonna do it, they don't have to do it. There's no need. But if they were gonna enhance the week, I should say. Then at least put some more effort into the story.
I would go one step further, then maybe not do the two nights, but I would have taken your high profile matches, for example, the O'Reilly Cole match, and that would have happened at WrestleMania.
That match went way too long.
A lot of people said that. I was watching the comments.
Too many close finishes. I felt drained watching.
That's my girlfriend's the same thing.
Over and over.
My girlfriend's like, "This is annoying." We saw them in 2016 at Final Battle for Ring of Honor at the Hammerstein. Same match. Same competitors, because they're legitimately a good, their best friend in real life. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was going to be a good match, because they always come correct. We always talk about this. When you're friends in real life, the matches become better on screen because you guys know each other so well. We'll get to that. We're still on night one, but it went way too long. They could have finished that in less than a half hour.
We are now getting confirmation that DMX has passed away. So,
man. Well, he was in bad shape. It's funny, the last time I was in Philly with Surfer, there was a venue. Surfer, what's the name of that venue that was near the two cheesesteak spots? The concert
the
venue.
PLA.
Yeah, he was performing that night. It was sold out.
Damn.
The night that we were out there. Yeah, the Night Surfer got us those pretzels. The day, I should say. But yeah, that DMX. I remember DMX on the billboard that night. Sold out.
Oh my God! Yeah. Now you have me picturing Surfer running out of that pretzel store.
Here we go.
Leave the car on and him running out, and all I can hear is,
"Yo,
I'm gonna lose my mind up in here." Yeah, Choppy, that song. That song playing.
Choppy praises Surfer every time we go get sold pretzels at the Philly pretzel spot out here. They franchise them out here on Staten Island and in parts of Brooklyn. And every time we go there, Choppy's like, "Man, Surfer can't keep correct." But yeah, man, that's sad. He was such a good performer too in his day, man.
Yeah, he was.
But that's what catch up with you, man.
Yep.
Yeah, but catch up with you.
He couldn't leave those drugs alone.
Nope, he couldn't. Alright. Continuing on here. Now, a match that a lot of people enjoyed, they just didn't like the finish. The champion Walter defeated Tommaso Ciampa to retain the United Kingdom Championship. He's on year number 2 as champion.
When they bring him up to the main roster?
I don't know if they will. I think he's a little too valuable for both NXTs.
Yeah.
You know, and
because he seems like he got everything Vince loves in a big man.
Yeah, the problem with him, though, is he has no charisma at all. He's a straight shoe fighter.
What you see visually is what you will hear. What you'll hear on the microphone.
Yeah, he's not very. He's amazing.
Yeah,
he's and seeing him live is a spectacle. But because we saw him 2 years ago, he's a spectacle. But the flip side, like Double A said, he's not very. Vince would bring him in, and they would Rusev him, which is. They would. It would be shitty. It'd be terrible.
I mean,
you know,
Ivan Drago cut that promo in Rocky IV. If he dies, he dies. That's Walter.
You know, on a side note, a couple years ago, I was reading Maxim, and it had Stallone, and he said that when they filmed all the close-ups of that movie, they had to take a whole bunch of takes because Stallone's really short.
Right.
And Dolph Lundgren is not. So they would have like him stand, they have Stallone stand on stuff to get face to face with him for the pictures, for the posts, and they look at each other and make faces and laugh.
Didn't they do that in like every movie in that?
Yeah, I think he had to do something about his height in all the movies, yeah. And, you know, speaking of heights, I read something today about Mark Henry when they were trying to bring Daniel Bryan into WWE, and apparently Mark Henry went to whoever and really sold Daniel Bryan over, like put him over big time. Like, man, we got to bring this guy in. He's a big thing on the indie scene. He's former ROH champion and this and that. I mean, he's perfect and he's the right. And he goes, and he's the right size. He's 6'1". He's 200 pounds. He's perfect for what we need. And I guess they went with Mark Henry's word, and then they sign him and they bring him in, and they go to Mark Henry, and he goes, "This guy is not 6'1". And Mark's reply was, "He must have been wearing things on his heels that day when I saw him," or some shit like that, like platforms.
Jake Roberts is a similar story. His first tour of Japan. He sent them a picture, an 8x10, of him and Andre in the same picture. Mm-hmm. But the way Jake was standing in front of Andre, it looked like him and Andre were almost the same size.
Oh, God.
So I think it was Baba who booked him for All Japan. So when he got off the plane, they all thought they were getting this giant. When Jake went off the plane, they were so mad at him, they kicked the shit out of him every single night of the tour.
Oh, my God.
Because you lied about his height.
You can't do that in wrestling, folks. There's a very famous interview of Vince McMahon and Andre the Giant of where Vince height level is like you. Vince is at eye level with Andre's chest, and that's because he had Andre stand on a soapbox. And I'm like, why would you do that? Because Andre was huge to begin with. Why would you make him stand on a soapbox? And you see Vince just looking up at Andre and holding up the microphone high, like he had to reach like another 10 feet to get up to Andre to speak into the microphone. And then 2 weeks later, Vince is doing another promo with Andre, and Andre mysteriously lost 2 feet. Like, he's now just a giant instead of this humongous mammoth walking the earth, you know? Oh, my God. But, yeah, that was funny. But anyways, back to this. Walter defeated Tommaso Ciampa, but a lot of people, from what I read, they didn't like how Walter won because he won with a chop. He won the match with a chop, and
he won a lot of matches with that chop.
I know, but they were like he could have done. They were just not happy that that's how he won that time. Yeah, but whatever,
I'm okay with it. It's all right. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Triple threat match for the vacant NXT tag team titles. MSK defeated the grizzled young veterans, and Legado del Fantasma, which was Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wilde. And for those of you who don't know who knew who Joaquin Wilde is, that's DJ Z, Zima Ion. And like I said, MSK won the tag team titles. Was an okay match. Was nothing out of the world, but it was okay.
I thought it was solid. A little bit of an upset, actually. Yeah.
I thought the vets
were going to get it.
So did I. They were the ones I was going with.
Yeah, I was actually wrong with that match. But, the MSK guys, they're big on the indie scene. They're huge, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was shit.
You got to have somebody to be a young buck.
I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. But then the thing is, too, they always have a good tag team in NXT. Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always has
that's
a great,
always been
always
that way.
Good. Yeah. Always. So it's like, and they're memorable matches, too. So it's not like you say, I forgot about that match. You never do. The tag team matches are always on point.
Even when, what were they called? Connor and Victor? What was their team called? They were the first tag team champions. Yeah. I forgot their names. But anyways, they were tag team champions, and their matches were good. They were shit when they went to the main roster.
No, it was... Oh, fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
It's right there on my tongue, too.
It's the something with an A.
The Ascension.
The Ascension, thank you. But the tag team scene has always been there, been great. And it seems that the tag team matches at WrestleMania weekend are the ones that stand out the most. And I go back...
Because they just won a Dusty Classic.
Yeah, I go back to my favorite one of the WrestleMania season era was when the Revival faced American Alpha in Dallas.
Yep.
And that's probably my favorite one. And... even though that their match with the Revival, their match with Gargano and Ciampa, I don't know what was it like 4 months later was out of this world. But I always go back to the one with American Alpha because that was a great match, curtain jerker match too. In a shocker, Raquel Gonzalez, who by the way I got a good look at her last night during the pre-show, and she ain't half bad, defeated Io Shirai to become the new... What was that?
I wasn't shocked.
I was shocked.
I think Io Shirai is coming up to join her tag team partner on the main roster.
I don't know if you guys listened to the podcast. Well, last time Choppy was on, it was a little after the holidays. He refers to her as Puerto Rican China, even though she's Mexican.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would get. Yeah, she's got a little bit of that China.
Yeah, we called it. They're putting a lot of eggs in her basket now, right now. For some reason,
it's early for her.
Yeah,
I knew she was going to win the moment they lost the tag team title.
No, yep. But still, it was like this is like it's a lot very fast for her.
Rhea Ripley too, though. They did the same thing with her.
Yeah,
she got bumped up quick.
Yeah, but she's got talent. This one, and I'm not saying this Raquel doesn't, but she's still very raw.
She's still raw. I agree, Double A. I definitely agree with that.
You know, and but hey, maybe they know something we don't, and usually there really has not been a bad NXT Women's Champion. So
no.
They know something that that we just don't know yet. But we'll see. And that was night one. They went off the air a little after 10 o'clock. I believe Dynamite went a little bit longer than NXT by a couple of minutes, and of course their close was
was absolutely awful.
It's
bad, man. Like Jay was talking about this the other day. He goes, I'm giving AEW the Raw treatment. He's like, it's been shitty with the booking, and I'm like, yeah, man. I know we're getting off course, but
they've gotten like WWE with the same 10 guys coming out every week.
This is what me and Lee got into an argument about on the air about a month ago about. And it's this is not me hating an alternative. This is me. I'm observant to. I know what I'm looking at, and what a shock! What a shock! You know, the friends all got to be back together in a nice big pretty package. Okay, the Bullet Club is all back together in a night without Big Bo right on top. Like that was never going to happen.
And you know the other thing about AEW, they putting together two main factions and they don't have anything to do with them.
Yeah, there's 5 million factions, and then they've got these secondary shows that have 30 matches in 2 hours.
See, I don't care about the factions unless you book it properly.
That's the thing. They have factions just to have factions. Okay.
Right.
You start off with the Elite. They run the company. And then you make the Jericho guys, Inner Circle. Right? You got somebody to go over there.
And you got the Dark Order.
They were put together the Dark Order, right?
With the little kid,
it was kind of interesting when they were trying to like get people to join up, and you wasn't sure who was behind it. And it looked like they had this some sinister thing going on. And then, you know, Brother Lee comes out and the unfortunate thing happens to him. But now it's just like they're yucking it up with people and bringing out little kids for no reason.
He got to feel up Ty Conti yet last night, but that was about it. But
has his faction and what are they doing with them? It's
just
an excuse to have Taz talk on the mic.
Then there's the Cody's, the Nightmare Collective.
And who just split off from Cody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then there was the one with Brandy. I forgot what that one was called.
But the thing with Cody.
Brandy had the Nightmare Faction.
It was just ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Cody has no friends.
No friends, but he's on there with gender reveals, promoting his own TV show, on a game show, doing this, doing that, coming out in the middle of the entranceway instead of on the sides like everybody else. He's the center of attention, and probably, I don't know what the pyro budget is in AEW, but let's throw out a number. Let's say it's $5,000 a show. $3,500 of that is Cody.
Even his talk show co-host turned on him. Fucking check.
Jesus. You don't have to do everything Dusty did. Everybody don't have to turn on you.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but at least Dusty booked it properly, man. Mm-hmm. You know? Dusty booked it properly. Dusty booked guys that didn't even need to be booked. When he put them on the show, because he saw something in them. He gave Ronnie Garvin a title for Christ.
I mean, he would have.
And then Ronnie Garvin turned on him.
Dusty would have at least at this point would have gone to Cody. You need to tone down that pyro a little bit. It's a little much.
It's a little much. You need to, like, step aside and come in like the regular people do. And you need to just not eat, put stuff on your neck.
You come,
stuff on your neck is terrible.
You coming out on TV like your shit don't stink. You're Rhodes. And your shit smells just as bad as everybody else's.
I told you and your brother stop wearing that makeup. They still wear that after 25 years. It's ridiculous.
So now we've got Pinnacle.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but there's a story there. It's them in the circle.
But good. Still.
Done. But.
It's too much.
But yeah, because Team Taz, they have no direction. The fucking,
what's next?
Matt Hardy has a crew now.
What's next? They have no direction. Are they going to bring back Sting Squadron?
Oh, Christ, don't do that.
Speaking of Matt Hardy, like, the Butcher and the Blade and the Bunny, how many factions they were a part of? Eddie Kingston had a faction. Now they were Matt Hardy. What?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah.
The Mark Order podcast every Wednesday night live right here on Rant EM Radio. That's all I can say.
And there's a girl on that show.
There is a girl. There is a female.
She's not a girl.
She's the only.
Katie.
Yeah, she's the.
Katie's good people.
The only skirt on this network, you know.
Yeah, Katie knows the shit too.
Yeah, yes, she does. She sure does. And if you want to watch her visually, you know, this show is live on Facebook as well.
True. Yeah, not bad on your eyes either.
So, anyways, so that was night one in a nutshell. Then we get over to night two. And by the way, first of all, let me talk about Samoa Joe being the Barbara Walters of interviewers with sit down interviews during the pre-show. It was entertaining. It was entertaining, but let me tell you something. WWE needs to do something because Sam Roberts, we gotta do something about this Sam Roberts.
I love Sandy Graham Muffins, man.
I don't know. He's fugly to look at, and
that's true.
Let me put this a little bit nicer. Sam probably shouldn't be hosting those pre-shows. He can be on there, but he probably shouldn't be hosting.
Well, no more. So
yeah, I know. There's no Renee. There's no Charlie Caruso anymore.
So, oh my girl, Charlie's gone. My girl.
You know, but Kayla's getting the push. So.
She's adorable, by the way.
She is adorable.
Did you see her Hall of Fame get it?
Yeah, it was very nice.
She can get it, man. Well, she can definitely get it.
She can get anything she wants, you know. That's what happens.
Dude, I'm saying,
that's what happens I'm when you're saying. When you're bi, you can pick whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, I still stand by my statement that I said on Tuesday about Corey Graves. You could see that he was getting an erection when he was talking about Ozzy Osbourne. Even though that it was from the neck up, you could just see it in his eyes that he was just getting aroused talking about Ozzy Osbourne.
That's right. And rightfully so.
I guess. I mean, listen, I've talked about a lot of things on this show. I can't ever remember a time where I've been aroused to that point in my life, you know.
Double A, I don't know how big you and I really don't discuss music. I don't know how big your music palette is, but I've seen Sabbath and Ozzy combined 24 times since 1993 or 1994. So for me, it's a religious experience to see him like that. You know what I'm saying? So, what's that?
Okay, that's devil worship.
I don't give a shit, man. It's a spectacle. Maybe not a religious experience. It's a spectacle. Let me rephrase.
Yeah, the lie of religion. The religion that sends you to hell.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know. Yeah, but he was definitely popping a boner. Yeah, Kayla could hung a dress on that boner, probably.
Probably. Yeah. And Carmella would have been awfully pissed about that. Anyways, let's go on to night two for NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver. And again, their theme song, it is what it is. Okay. Oh, by the way, here's something we did not mention from TakeOver Night 1. And that was Nina Strauss doing the national anthem. And that was awesome.
She's badass.
Yeah, she is badass. But that whole thing just was awesome. With the WrestleMania pirate head behind her and everything was just, it was a good look. It really was.
Yeah, she's Alice Cooper's guitar player,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, that's what they said. But then night two, and it wasn't bad, but having Poppy out there singing, I guess people must like her if she's a Grammy Award winner, but...
Oh, no, she's on point. I just, not a fan. They were too loud, and her gimmick, apparently her gimmick is supposed to be like she's some kind of like android.
Yeah.
That
I believe
that when she gets into character, she does like she's anti everything, whatever. But it's like, it's really hard to do a live set and do something like that when you're not in your environment. Yeah. What I mean by that is, like, you're not on stage, you're not with the crowd, you're in a, it's a wrestling arena. Now she's got she walks the aisle, the band's behind her, all the focus is on her.
Yeah.
It's too loud, the lighting sucked. It was like, eh. And if you were a fan of her, you should be disappointed. The set's up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But.
And again, this will be the last time I make this statement. They should have gone with the Mr. Mister theme song. You know, because. And with an appearance from Edward James Olmos. Okay. That's all I'll play, because then Facebook will take us down.
There's a show I watch called Mayans.
Uh-huh.
At Mayans MC. He's the dad of the two Viking brothers.
I heard somebody talking about Britney Spears one time when Britney Spears was gaining weight, and they made reference to her ass and said that her ass looks like Edward James Olmos' face with a mouthful of mashed potatoes. And but I gotta tell you, he's been in so many great movies, but I can't get enough of that Stand and Deliver is such a ridiculous movie. I love that movie. Whenever it's on, I watch it and things like that. But and he was good in Selena, and he was good in a lot of other movies. He was also good as the Menendez brothers' dad. I don't know. When he's angry, I love when he's angry because he screams. He's a good screamer.
Like, what's that movie he was in where he got locked up for a bunch of years? He comes out and he tries to have sex with that chick, but he gets all freaked out because it was like jail sex.
I gotta think about that one.
I forget the name of it.
Suffer Must.
It wasn't Once Upon a Time in America. That was the Jewish Mafia.
Let me see here.
It'll come to me. I'm trying to do it by my memory.
But anyways. man, yes, we are talking about Edward James Olmos on this show. Let's get into the night two card. The first match, the pre-show match on Peacock. Well, the whole event was on Peacock. Killian Dane and Drake Maverick versus Breezango. I liked this match. I liked their stupid entrance that both Breezango and the other tag team had.
So you did a pre-show match?
This was a pre-show match.
Oh, that's why I missed those two matches. Okay.
Well, Killian Dane shave his back?
You know what? A good hairy back has been lacking in pro wrestling for a long time.
Since you know who?
I think he has the wrong gimmick. Considering George Animal Steel Jr.
Who was the last hairy back in wrestling?
George Steele.
No, there was one other one.
Dutch Mantel, Dirty Dutch.
Dirty Dutch, I think, was the last like really hairy back in wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was somebody else. Huh?
She was hairy in the front, too.
Oh, yeah. Dutch looked like he was wearing a goddamn vest. A coat, exactly. A chinchilla coat.
A chinchilla.
And what's, you know, not that I care, Dutch is probably almost 70 years old, but is Dutch still that hairy? I mean, my God. He looks like, doesn't matter how many showers he takes, that he retains some sort of odor embedded in that carpet.
Hey, listen. Back in Dutch's time, they didn't have masking. They have Manscaped now.
It doesn't matter. I think when you get to a certain age, you don't give a damn anymore.
Not the same for the Kelly and Dane. Somebody send them about the Manscaped.
One of the shows on this network, I think it's the Wizards, has Manscaped as a sponsor. And I can't.
And I used it.
And I can't. But here's the thing. I can't imagine a person that's 69, 70, 71 years old, okay?
No.
Getting something like that and saying, well, you know what? I got to go clip the hedges before I go out tonight. I can figure when you get to that age, you don't give a damn anymore. You're happy to be able to bend down and tie your shoes. I'm going to be 39 years old in July, and I have problems tying my shoes as it is now. Oh, man. Anyways. The opening match of the night was the ladder match to determine the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Santos Escobar, why can't I say Escobar, was the interim Cruiserweight Champion, while Jordan Devlin was the actual Cruiserweight Champion. Of course, the interim champion had to be developed due to the pandemic, and Devlin could not come over. But here's where I'm going to interject here and say that Escobar winning was the right call, because why? I don't necessarily think they want Jordan Devlin in the States, to be honest with you. So they need to get their title back, and that's why this match happened. So,
Problem is, though, the match wasn't that good.
It wasn't. It was just your average ladder match. There was nothing that stood out in this match. There was nothing. So, you know, we can go on to the next one. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart defeated The Way, which is Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, to retain the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. I can't stand Shotzi Blackheart. So I have to endure watching the match. I can't stand the barking. I can't stand the howling. I have an issue when wrestlers bark. That's why I didn't like Titus O'Neil for a long time.
He's a cute dog.
There's something about barking. I never even liked Rick Steiner when he barked.
She used to host one of those horror shows, like the Elvira type of
doesn't
show.
Matter. She shouldn't be barking.
Shot you black out up all night.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but that's where she got there from.
I don't like Hartwell at all. I think she's terrible. Ooh. She constantly misses spots. She's not. She doesn't even look like she's trying. When she throws a kick or a punch, it's like it's almost like it's an effort for her to do it. She's terrible. And the fact that Candice LeRae, well, Candice LeRae can work. She's a good.
I want my award this year, goddammit.
Is that Tony C?
I'm coming in here, man. I didn't get your call, man.
I called you at the start of the show.
I promised I didn't get a notification. Something just told me, check Discord, and I'll be goddamn. Y'all are here just partying hardy, and nobody texts me.
I thought Tony C said, nah, the hell with this damn thing. I don't want to watch no woman barking on television.
No, man. I was sitting here waiting. I'm like, it's late. They got I done pulled out the laptop and started watching YouTube. I said, I guess Double A fell asleep or something. Oh, no.
No, no. Surfer would have started texting like, there's no post show?
I don't know what happened, bro. I didn't get nothing. Oh, I'm just sitting here waiting, twiddling my thumb.
It's okay. I mean, you missed. We talked about Dutch Mantel and his chinchilla body hair, and we talked about DMX dying. We talked about. What else did we talk about? We talked about everything else that happened at NXT up until Shotzi Blackheart barking tonight in her match.
Damn. Oh, okay. So nothing, I didn't miss nothing too, you know what I'm saying, crazy?
I mean, nah.
Okay.
Your nephew got grounded, though, for falling asleep in class. That's besides the point. Other than that, nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
So here we go. She was a TV horror show hostess for San Francisco Bay Area television station KOFY. I did not even know, though, because she's only 29 years old. I didn't even know that they were still doing these horror show things on local TV in this day and age.
Did she do porn, too, apparently?
I don't see anything here about porn, but, I mean...
I heard she did porn.
She looks like the type that doesn't give a damn. Oh, I don't care if they watch.
But hey, that Hartwell chick, she's fucking terrible. She's terrible.
Yeah.
Where is Surfer? Oh, that was
that him? That was him yawning, yeah.
Man, he had to call. Surfer, you could have called me and sent up a smoke signal or something. Be like, you know, we here.
When we came on the air, that boy said that you'll be joining us at some point.
I figured Tony's, because here's the thing, here's how it always works. This is my fault, because I probably should have texted Tony C. I normally sure. do. But I called the guys, right? And right. when they didn't answer the first time, I said, screw it, I'm going to go up on the air, I'll start playing the music, and I'll call them again while the music is playing, and I figure they'll pick up. The second call happened and nobody picked up. I said, I guess I'm doing this show by myself. When I was just about, wait a minute. When I was just about to start doing the intro, that's when Surfer came on. And I was like, okay, well, here's Surfer. And I knew Phil probably may or may not tag in, so I didn't think anything about Phil coming on.
Well, I messaged you. I was in Uber.
Well, you did message. But, and then with Tony C, I was like, well, I figured Tony C will. If he's not here, he'll tune into the feed and he'll hear us talking, because he's done that before. Like, you guys are on the air, you didn't bring me up. But then again, you waited. We've been on the air almost an hour.
Because I'm waiting on y'all. I'm looking at the clock. Like, okay, it must end at 12. I thought it ended at 12. I'm like, okay, maybe end at 12. Because normally, like you say, you text me or something. So
I guess that's my bad. I'm a bad producer today.
It's fun. You know what I'm saying? I know it may not be funny in theory, but it's funny because I was just sitting there waiting, like, twiddling my thumbs. Damn, it's going to be a long night. And then some said, look on Discord, and I'll be damn. Y'all just over here yucking it up.
Yeah, I mean.
I said, damn it. What the hell?
Do you have your phone with you?
Yes, normally Double A when Double A calls me, Surfer, I get it.
Listen, I know he said he was at the show, so I turned on my Discord. He called while I was walking down the steps. As soon as I sat down, I saw that he had me on the call, and I clicked on it.
Okay, see, I don't have like it turned on. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had an app up like what you talking about. But normally, even I still get a call, if I don't have
Apple. Well, then let's make it clear: have the app up at the conclusion of WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, of course, I can't miss that. But yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, especially that our bet will come to a head on Saturday night.
Absolutely, you know, if I win, I'm caught wherever. I could be anywhere. I'm cashing in. Goddamn.
Oh, man. Anyways.
Oh, man. I'm just glad I was able to catch y'all a little bit, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, again, I apologize.
It's man. All right. It's all
right.
You
know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, the NXT North American title was on the line. Johnny Gargano defeated Bronson Reed. This was a very good match.
Very good match.
Now, of course, it involved Johnny Gargano. He's Johnny Takeover. Usually his matches are very good in general. But Bronson Reed held his own, proved that he's worthy enough to be a contender, and it was a very good match, especially considering that he was a big guy. My wife, who was watching with me at this time, she goes, you know, his nipple is hanging out of his singlet. And I said, yes, yes it is. That's a common problem when you have a big man in a singlet like that. And if it were me, I'd be concerned that the border of the singlet would be rubbing my nipple the entire match, and it would drive me crazy, and I would lose my concentration, and I would botch a spot. Yes.
What is Bronson Lee's ethnicity?
He is a Samoan Australian.
Wait a minute. Samoan Australian?
Yes, a Samoan Australian.
He's not like a, what do they call the Australians, the original people there?
An Aborigine?
You know
what I mean? Yeah. He was born in Australia.
Indy Hartwell's from Australia, too.
Well, she's awful.
But yeah, so... So yeah, he's definitely a Samoan. He's got the body for it, that's for sure. And he's got that look that all Samoans have. But it was a good match. It was a good match. He held his own. The little interference with Austin Theory was okay. It was entertaining. But still, Johnny Gargano retains. He's going to continue on to Tuesday nights as the North American champion. This match I was expecting a little bit more from, and it fell kind of flat, but it's okay. Karrion Kross defeated Finn Balor to become the new NXT champion.
I thought it was a real good match. I
enjoyed it.
A clash of styles actually work.
I didn't have necessarily an issue with the match. More so, I thought I was going to expect more. Like, I wasn't as invested in the match that I was hoping I would be. I don't have anything wrong with the match. Like, I'm not going to sit here and nitpick issues that I found with the match. It just, I couldn't get myself involved in it. Like,
For Finn Balor to be at such a height and weight disadvantage,
yeah,
he really
held his own.
He used his technique to, you know, make that a evenly competitive match.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Now, he's no longer the NXT champion. I don't know where they go from here, and I don't know what this means for Finn Balor. But
He might become with the other guy who lost to Walter, just did an enhanced talent.
Ciampa?
Yeah.
But I want to know what his program will be. Like, I don't want Finn Balor to go in there. I don't want Finn Balor to come and start jobbing every week on TV.
I tell you, he might be. They make him a tag team run.
Ciampa and Balor?
Balor and somebody. He's done everything. He's won that title twice. What's that?
Kyle O'Reilly?
That's possible.
Maybe.
That's possible.
It could be. But, like, I'm not mad at that either. You know? You know, he's done everything else. What else can he possibly do? He's not, like, Double A's not going to come out and job every week now. You know,
and while we bring up Kyle O'Reilly, the main event was the unsanctioned match, and I will say this: there are two. Let's talk about the positives. Number one, the build up.
We'll start it out.
Look, the match went long. Okay, But really? the match wasn't terrible. But here's the thing. The positive, the first positive I'm going to tell you, the video package leading up to the match. Excellent video package. So well done. It was really good. It really was. I love the involvement of William Regal right up to the very end. Like, William Regal is watching them walk into the building to make sure they don't act up. To keep him in line. I just love all of that. I don't know, I'm a big fan of William Regal, so anything he does is okay with me. He can come out there and say he can do no wrong.
You got it, sunshine.
Ever since he slapped Sting.
That's it. I've been a fan since then.
Ever since that slap.
That's it.
Isn't he a man's man?
He is a man's man.
He's a man.
And for the longest time, I feel had the greatest hair in pro wrestling. But anyways, that's a whole other. His long hair. I don't know what it is that just looks great. I wish I had hair like that.
Yeah, royalty hair.
He had royalty hair.
I love you, part of the blue blood.
So, anyways. So Kyle O'Reilly defeated Adam Cole in the unsanctioned match. The match went, here's the official time, 40 minutes and 10 seconds.
I would have trimmed off 12 minutes at least.
I knew that when the NXT Championship match went off the air at 9:50, I was like, all right, we're definitely going into overtime because I think this was earmarked to run till 10. And I thought, okay, we'll go to 10:15. So I thought, so that would have put the match at 25 minutes to a half hour. It went 40 minutes, and it went unnecessarily long, but they did a lot in that 40 minutes. And I don't know if it felt 40 minutes, but it did feel long. I don't know. The 40 minutes went fast for me. That's for me. It did, but it was a long match.
40 minutes. It wasn't a sluggish.
No, it wasn't. Was I invested the entire time? I was. Was it a match that I would say, God, this is my God, this is one of the classics of NXT? It was a good match. But it wasn't. I'm not going to put it down like I'm not going to nominate it for match of the year.
So basically, are you saying it was serviceable?
It was a serviceable. It was a serviceable, unsanctioned match that went long.
I felt minutes of those matches of that match born.
Were you chanting "born" at the screen?
No. Part of that match got exciting, and part of that match was boring.
I will tell you where I have a problem, where I had a problem actually both nights. And normally I'm a fan of her commentary. I had a big problem with Beth Phoenix's commentary this week.
I don't like her at all.
Because here's the issue. You got Wade Barrett, who I really think needs to tone down that graveliness that he has, because he commentates a match like he's always angry. But like, they would be going, you know, Vic Joseph would be like, okay, Kyle O'Reilly hip toss on Cole, he's got him in an arm bar, and then, you know, let's say Kyle O'Reilly hits Adam Cole with a steel chair. This whole time leading up to that chair shot, Beth Phoenix will have said nothing. The minute that chair shot hits, she goes, oh my God, he hit him with a steel chair. Like, she just comes out of nowhere and screams. She was so good when Mara was there. And
she reminds me of a baseball announcer, Tim McCarver. I call him Captain Obvious.
Yeah, I know. He yells
like,
a lot. So.
There's a man on second. There's a man on second. And you'll hear, it'll be dead silent. And you hear, base hit or score a run. No shit, he's on second base. Of course he'll score a base hit.
Oh, man. But yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You guys feel that? I mean, we all are under the agreement that the match went too long. But did you think the match was at least serviceable, as Tony C put it?
The match is serviceable, but the only what bothered me the most was the goddamn referee.
Oh, that referee was terrible.
He was the shit.
Yeah.
Oh, like he basically, I sat with a casual wrestling fan who hasn't watched wrestling in 25 years, mm-hmm. who looked at me and said, "This guy's awful. Does he not know where to walk? Does he not know where to go? Like, is he, I mean, he couldn't even take a bump.
No,
he couldn't. Like, he was awful.
He was really bad. Really bad. And here's some more breaking news. DMX manager, this is right now, a couple of minutes ago. Listen to this.
Everybody, please stop with posting with these rumors. DMX is still alive. Yes, he is on life support. But please, it's not helping anybody by having seen these false rumors. Let the family relax for a night. You will be hearing a statement from the family sometime tomorrow. I've been with DMX for the past 3 years. So the only thing I ask is just stop with the rumors. He is still alive, and he is on life support.
He's still alive. They hit him with five shots, and he's still alive.
No, which means they pulled the plug and just waiting for him to die. That's basically what it is.
That's what it is.
What he can't say.
Yeah. Right.
Or he died already, and they just don't want to make it official.
And they're not saying anything. Right. Right. Correct.
But anyways,
that's how they play games with celebrities. Y'all know it.
Yeah, because they're the ones that want to announce that he's dead.
That's right.
But he probably is dead, and they were not ready to, you know, make a statement about it just yet. But anyways, so overall takeaway from both nights.
Good, solid.
It was solid. It was definitely not the
B.
I would give B's a respectable grade. I would give it a B as well. Surfer, you watched both nights closely.
I do think night two was better than night one.
I'll go with that. I would agree there.
But I thought, you know, most of the time you got some good storytelling.
Yeah.
It was a few times. It didn't matter, but... The only match that surprised me was I thought that the Australian boy was going to win over
Gargano.
Cruiserweight.
He's not from Australia.
Oh, the Irish kid, definitely.
The Irish kid.
I thought he was going to win, but
no. They needed to get that title off him because what if he can't come back for another, listen, WWE can't put themselves in a position anymore where they have somebody from a different division hold a U.S. title, meaning they can't have somebody who's a main superstar in NXT UK hold an NXT U.S. championship. Because what if something happens and they can't get that person to come back into the States? Which is what happened with Jordan Devlin. That's how I look at it. They took the title off of him, and he probably won't be back on NXT TV for a long time. So, Walter's a different story because Walter's the United Kingdom champion. But yeah, and no more Shotzi Blackheart, please. No more. I don't like her.
You did get used to her.
No. I didn't get used to her when she was hosting Halloween Havoc, and she was barking then and howling and, oh, whoa, whoa. Listen, if I came on here, okay, and every week ended the show, all right, we'll see you next Tuesday night with another edition of The Rant. Oh, you guys would get aggravated and think it would be ridiculous at the end if I did that every week.
That was your catchphrase?
Oh, yeah. That should be my catchphrase. Have a good night, everybody. Ho! It's not like coming on here and saying papers and whatever other sayings, you know, that everybody here on this network has.
What else is supposed to do? I mean...
Howling is ridiculous.
Hold on, Double, I'll be right.
Even Tony C thinks howling is ridiculous.
So you know what, Double A? If she was bad in the ring, I would jump on your bandwagon, but she really isn't.
And that, you know, and that, like, and she's the one that also comes out in the tank, and
I'm not mad at that either. I'm really pissed off today. But the only thing NXT does bad is they pair with the girls. They're all not on the same level in terms of wrestling or like timing and stuff like that. And they pair up these people who can't work with certain people. Like that Hartwell chick, Candice LeRae. Is probably the best wrestler next to Io Shirai on that roster right now.
But who are you going to team up with? I mean,
anybody but her. Hartwell's awful. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
then give me a name.
You know what? You could put her with Dakota Kai. You could put her with Io Shirai. You could put her with. All I'm saying is like they do this all the time. They match up chicks that can't work as well as the other chick can. And it makes it a mishmash of teams. They don't do it so much in individual matches, but the tag team, they do it a lot.
The thing is, none of those women get along with each other. They've all turned to each other at one point.
I understand that. I'm just saying in general, like, she's just not. It doesn't work. She doesn't work with them well. That's all I'm saying. That's my point. She's not very good. So it makes Candice LeRae look terrible. You know what I'm saying? It's like Dynamite Kid teaming with the fucking Great Khali. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't look right. You know?
Yeah, but you're trying to get her to get better.
But then put her in singles matches, Surfer. I don't see her wrestling singles matches. Let her work more. Give her more work to do then at that point. Don't put her in high-profile tag title matches. When she can't work, she's awful.
That's true.
Let her work. Ask Brian Pillman about that. He had to carry Tom Zink for like half a year.
Don't do the Z-Man like that.
Oh, dude, stop. Come on. He was awful. He danced more than he wrestled with that stupid drop kick, and he was awful.
I don't know. The Z-Man was...
He's a poor man's Rick Martel.
That is true. I will give you that. And Rick Martel did carry him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems like two different fancy partners carrying, man. It ain't right. But this is like a thing in wrestling for some reason. They'll make teams with these people, and the other person is not that good, and the other person is really, really good, and you would think they would catch up. Doesn't work. Look at Nikita Koloff was forced to work because he had Ivan Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev, Barry Dawson, who both guys could work their asses off.
Yeah.
But it forced Nikita to be.
To learn.
To the point where they. Right. And he was a main eventer within a year, 2 years.
That's
just, you know, but I mean, I could bring up a whole bunch of different instances, but, you know, you see my point.
I do see your point. And thank God, because, you know, Nikita Koloff went over, but Scott Simpson? No.
Christ.
Christ.
Or the fake Von Erich,
That's right. Well, I forgot his name.
Lance.
It was but he was Lance Von Erich, but Kevin Vaughn was his real name.
Yeah, he wasn't a real Von Erich.
No, he wasn't. Lance. He was just Lance. Yeah. Well, yeah, Walt.
But you see, it's.
But yeah, there's been a lot of instances like that, you know. But man, all right. So, real quick to recap, what's going on here tomorrow? Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You guys are doing a throwback of.
We did the NCAA tag team tournament we've had the last couple of weeks, and we are fantasy booking the finals. Which, believe it or not, is FTR versus Anderson and Blanchard.
Oh, boy.
So we're fantasy booking that. We're going to preview night one of WrestleMania. And I think, I don't know, and just I'm going to pick on Indy Hartwell, I think. Yeah. And then it might be just me on Sunday. I'm not sure yet. Jay may have to work. So I'll be on at 4:00. There's no problem, but it might be me.
and you, whoever wants to call in, I guess.
I might have to tag in with you there. All right. So
either way.
So yeah. Okay. So that's tomorrow. Phil and Jay, they'll talk about like he said, they'll go on the air and they'll badmouth Indy Black or whatever the hell her name is, Hartwell, for 2 hours. No, I'm kidding. They'll run down WrestleMania and recap the week in news and all that fun stuff and finish out their tournament Saturday.
Oh, and I'm sorry, boys. I didn't want to plug it, but we may have a special guest, very, very, very special guest calling in tomorrow. I didn't want to jinx it, but the person did confirm, but they're in a totally different time zone. They're about 14 hours ahead of us.
Okay.
So it's a big deal, but every time I advertise something, they never come through.
So okay.
They're slated to call in tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Well, that's good. There you go.
I don't know if it's going to happen. I'll tell you off the air.
That's what we call a teaser, people. Okay.
Yes.
Saturday we'll be live at 5 o'clock with the Four Horsemen Roundtable. Like I said on Tuesday, we're going to break the roundtable up into two parts. We'll do a roundtable on Saturday, and then down the road, we are going to continue the roundtable, but we're going to have our debate between me and Lee, which will have a moderator asking questions. presidential election style. And it'll be given, each will be given like 2 minutes to respond, and then the opposite party will have two minutes to rebut. So we're gonna do something very fun when we get Lee to be able to be a part of that. That'll be down the road, but we're gonna do the initial roundtable Saturday at 5 o'clock. That leads into the Midnight Jury pre-show thing that they're doing. They didn't say necessarily that they were gonna preview WrestleMania, but they're gonna do a wrestling pre-show. That's all I found out. That'll be in the can, but it'll air 7 o'clock on Saturday after we're done with the roundtable. That'll go into their live show at 8. They will be live during WrestleMania. They'll give little updates here and there throughout the night, but really that show on Saturday night will be focusing on some 80s stuff that they're talking about and a movie that they're currently viewing. Then we will come on the air at the conclusion of night one. We'll give you a brief rundown of what happened. Me and Tony C will settle out our bet. We'll see who won. And just to remind everybody, okay, if Lashley loses the title, okay, so if he drops the title to Drew McIntyre, I owe Tony C two cheesesteaks from Chico's in the greater urban Orlando area.
Urban Orlando area.
Absolutely. It's very urban where Chico's at.
So, if Bobby Lashley retains, Tony C owes me two bacon double cheeseburgers from Freddy's in Orlando.
If Bobby Lashley retains, I'm going to cry.
Hey.
Because I couldn't believe they would let him win again.
Well, we're going to find out.
I've been waiting for the Destroyer to become champion in WWE ever since he dropped the belt in TNA.
Well, we'll find out on Saturday what the outcome of that is. Sunday, Phil and whoever else will be on at 4 o'clock. And like I said, the feed will be wide open to do whatever, talk about whatever, leading right up to WrestleMania. They don't have to be on the – Phil doesn't have to be on the air for 4 hours. He just has 4 hours to kill if he wanted. But it's 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock is the pre-show, and probably – I'm sure you'll run at least an hour.
We're going to break down the night, and we're going to review night one and preview night two,
Then
everybody's on the air.
Yeah, then we will come back on the air at the conclusion and recap everything and kind of put it all in a nice pretty package and send it on its way. The Shining Wizards will come back on Monday with a live show talking about everything that they witnessed this past week. Then The Rant will be live on Tuesday, where we'll have a normal episode of The Rant, and we'll also be breaking down NXT's first night on Tuesday night, as they will be going head-to-head with us. It's not us going head-to-head with them, because this is our night. Like Triple H
this
said...
This is like Impact. This is like Impact going to Dirty Pop. Right?
I know. I know.
Dirty Pop.
Yep. And then on Wednesday, we round out the marathon with the Mark Order podcast, formerly known as the AEW Dynamite Post Show. And that'll be live Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. And then on Thursday, we can all take a deep breath and... Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention this on Tuesday, but I believe it's scheduled to run again on Saturday morning. But we have a block of programming that aired on Tuesday. It aired again this afternoon, and I believe it's going to air again on Saturday morning. Let me go to the schedule real quick, when the next time it's going to air. It's going to air actually Saturday at 7 o'clock. Okay, it may not air. I might have to change the timing on it. But we have a block of programming where only the past WrestleMania theme songs air. So if you're listening to the feed, there's a point where the show that you're listening to will just cut off, and it'll go into a block of music for a couple of hours. And that's where you'll hear every single WrestleMania theme song known to man. And I believe we're gonna run it again on Saturday. All the theme songs are airing in rotation, by the way, in between shows. So you'll get either a wrestling theme or you'll get a WrestleMania theme song between the replays of all the different shows. And again, just to remind everybody, if you're listening to this live or you're listening to it on the replay, our downloads are not working right now. So I'm hoping to get this fixed before the weekend, before Saturday or Sunday. I'm working with our service provider right now to try to get all the technical stuff squared away. And then all the shows that have been taped this week will be made available for download on all the various outlets and stuff. But right now, the downloads are not working. I want to make that very clear. And that's it. Any final thoughts from you guys? It's already Friday morning. Be on the lookout, because WWE generally drops an album before a big pay-per-view. So if you're interested in wrestling theme songs, keep an eye out. It could be on YouTube, could be on iTunes. So
the way...
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you haven't stressed out yet.
What do you mean?
You usually stress out around this time of the
year. Yeah, I don't have anything to stress out about this year. There's too much going on in the world. Okay? Right now. There's too much going on in people's personal lives. There's too much going on in my personal life to be stressed out about WrestleMania. We didn't do a marathon last year because of the pandemic. Actually, did we even do a post show? Yeah, I think we did do a post show. But
did we?
We did do a post show for WrestleMania.
Yeah, we talked about The Undertaker beating the hell out of AJ Styles.
Yeah, we did do a post show.
That's right.
But but that's all we did.
Come on, AJ. Come on.
You know, so we're...
That's my name again.
Yeah, we didn't... This is the marathon part... And this is actually a different marathon than we're accustomed
to. What's my name again?
So we're used to doing multiple shows on multiple days. Like we're used to doing 2-3 shows on a Friday and 2-3 shows on a Saturday and things like that. This year it's spread out throughout the entire week, single shows, but all the shows are live. So I think this is the first time in the history of the network that we have 10 straight days of programming. Since this network launched, which, by the way, on May 1st, this is hard to believe. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. May 1st will make 8 years that this network launched. I can't believe that it's been 8 years since this network launched. Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah, I think this is the first time we've had 10 straight days of live shows like this. I don't think we've ever done it before. So
I keep all you guys in my presence. You guys got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and
We got an email from one of our listeners last week, one of our regulars who's having a really hard time. And the last show that we did was 400. He said it was just made him feel really good. And so now, so, you know, stuff like that. It's just there's so much going on that it just almost becomes an afterthought.
Yeah.
But you still want to do it just to have some kind of normalcy.
Exactly.
At least for us. Anyway.
I enjoy doing this show, whether I'm sick, whether I don't feel like doing the show. Because there are days that I'm like, oh, geez, I got to go on the air and slave over a hot microphone for 2 hours after having a long day at work and things like that. I enjoy doing it because this is actually a stress reliever for me to come on here and BS with you guys every week. And doing this marathon, I enjoy very much. Like I said, it's different this year. The format's a little different. But it's still a marathon. We're doing more programming than we normally have been doing over the last couple of years. I intend on doing some more stuff, hopefully, when we get into the summertime. I do promise, and I've said I was, you know, I've been threatening this for a long time, but I do promise that before they physically send me back to the office, which is not going to be anytime soon, but before they physically send me back to the office, I will make time and we will do another Saturday morning special. We will do an overnight special, which I know I've talked about before. We're going to do all those things. I promise. We'll get around to it. Bear with us, though, because, you know, life sometimes has to come first, and then this crazy shit, you know, this network comes second. So just stick around. Bear with us. We're going to have some fun. We still got 5 days of the marathon to go. And like I said, everything that you hear from here on out is going to be very entertaining. Phil will have fun on Friday. We're going to have fun on Saturday with the Horseman Roundtable. They took my damn WWE Network away, so it's not going to be as easy to pull audio as it used to be, but I'll still be able to get it. And we're going to have fun, of course, bitching about what we liked and what we didn't like about WrestleMania, because that's the fun stuff. Coming on here after a long, long, long 4 hours of watching. I don't know if it'll go 4 hours, because here's what threw me off. The pay-per-view starts at 8 o'clock. So I don't know how long the nights will actually go on Saturday and Sunday. Somebody told me that Sunday night will probably go past 4 hours.
Oh, hell no.
So we'll see.
Is Sunday going to start at 7 or
No, 8? Both nights are starting at 8.
It's good thing I took Monday off.
Yeah, I should have done the same. My wife tells me, why the hell didn't you take Monday off? I'm like, I don't know.
I always remember, I've been telling you that
for years. I know. I always
take that Monday off.
You know, there's only one, in all the years I've been doing this marathon, actually, no, I take that back, too. In all the years I've been doing the marathon, I've only taken the Monday after WrestleMania off twice, and that's because once I was in Orlando, and the other time was I had went to the WrestleMania here in Miami, and I didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I still had to go to Raw the next night. So I think I took Monday and Tuesday off. And I still did the show Tuesday. I drove back from Orlando the Tuesday after that Raw. I walked in the door. I'll never forget. I walked in the door of the house, dropped my bags on the floor, and I said, okay, let's get on the air. I got on the air like 20 minutes later, and we did an episode of The Rants. I don't even know if it was good or bad. And by the way, I'm going to remind everybody, if you want to hear an entertaining show on Tuesday this week, tune in, because as I stated this past Tuesday, I'm getting my first vaccine on Tuesday afternoon. So if you want to hear me, loopy, if I have a reaction, it'll happen on Tuesday night. So so definitely tune in for that.
Well, lucky for you, it'll come within the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If you're loopy or something happens to you,
you'll get the air. Yeah. So hopefully, I don't sound too incoherent.
Once you got all your stats, you can go to Mar-a-Lago.
Why would I want to go there? First of all, I don't like going to Palm Beach County under normal circumstances.
Okay.
Can I say
you're not allowed in there unless you improve you got your shot.
Yeah. And that's okay. Hey, he can keep his invite.
And before we get out of here, I want to say something to Matt Gates. Hey, man. Ain't looking good, dog. Quagmire, real life Quagmire, you about to be giggity, 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 giggity your ass, poked in jail.
Oh, God.
He got caught, didn't he? Man.
Yes, he did.
No, his partner got caught.
But I think
him
he's...
And the partner got caught.
Yeah, I think he's...
And the partner didn't flip.
Yeah.
You know what's
so
going to happen?
He threw all the work in his life.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to get cornered. They're going to try to arrest him. He's going to throw down a puff of smoke. He's going to end back on the on Family Guy.
Yeah. That's where he's going to have to go, because if in the Family Guy his ass, when your partner flip on you, you already know what time it is. So,
shit.
It ain't looking good for you, Mr. Gates. Gates, what his name is.
Remember the Simpsons episode where Homer came into the real world? That's what happened with Matt Gates.
Absolutely. And you know the sad part is, it's always somebody here in Florida.
It's always
and
Florida.
And first, Andrew Gillum, now Gates.
Always Florida.
The DeSantis is going to be the next one. I'm putting money on it. He's doing something. Because he's just crazy as hell. They're going to catch him doing something. Because he's just loco.
DeSantis is too stupid.
Hey, man. All them guys that hung out with 40, that got them 45, yeah, going to prison. That's what all I'm going to say. If you were carrying that water, you're going to prison. And that's that. In the words of a illustrious friend of mine, you're going to prison. So, big ups to you, you know what I'm saying? Good luck. But when your partner, co-conspirator, flip on you, it'll never work out too well for you. I ain't never seen a TV show where it work out well.
Okay.
Yeah, all the episodes of Wise Guys I didn't see.
Are you off? Are you off tomorrow, Phil? I mean, you usually are off on Friday, so.
Yeah, no, I took off today.
He cleared the books, man. He know what time it is.
Jesus,
It's been really rough at work, so I told the boss, man, I'm like, yeah, I said, man, I got this vacation time.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I probably should have done the same, but that's all right. It's okay. I've perfected the waking up at 8:25 and clocking in at 8:30.
Well, we know WrestleMania Hollywood next year. You'll be off next week.
I hope so. Yeah, that's what I plan on. I'll take that Monday off. I learned my lesson.
Right.
I say that every year. I've been doing this damn thing since 2008. This marathon,
really,
and I never, I actually have to go to WrestleMania for me to take that WrestleMania Monday off.
That's sad.
So
that sad, and especially if it runs long, like 12 o'clock.
Oh Jesus!
So we probably won't get off there.
You know what? You do know what's funny? I thought.
I'm still working at home.
What was that?
I'm still working at home.
Yeah, I'm working at home until.
All you have to do is get some fake eyes.
Doesn't work that way.
Sit in front of the computer.
I wish it was that easy, but no. The thing is that when the WrestleMania in Orlando went off the air at 12:15, I want to say,
Right.
And listen, I remember telling Tony C that I told my wife not to come to the stadium to pick me up, to pick me up down the street somewhere. And Tony C, are you crazy walking these streets alone at that hour? Because I was walking the urban area of downtown Orlando, Florida, in the wee hours of the morning after WrestleMania, looking for my wife, and she was, thank God, she had parked off in a street somewhere. But yeah, I was by myself on a street corner there for a little while. I got nervous, but yeah. All right. Well, anyways. With that said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in live. This show will rebroadcast, probably give me about 15 minutes and it'll replay. And I want to thank Phil, I want to thank Surfer, and I want to thank Tony C for the 25 minutes that he did give us.
I apologize again, y'all. Okay. Blame Discord.
It's all right. It's all right. Just busting your balls.
Let me see if Discord got an update. Knowing my luck, it's gonna be the need of the update. That's probably why it didn't work.
Hold on, give me a second. Well, you're not gonna update the damn thing now, as we're gonna go off the air.
I'm just gonna see if it needed an update. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So with that said,
don't go nowhere. Oh, okay. 'Cause I don't want y'all to put this on me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're not gonna put this on me, Ricky Bobby.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
Put this curse on me. I'm just
all right. I didn't realize it was that big of a situation here. So,
I'll wait. Don't worry, I'll wait.
We've got a little bit of time we can still kill. I mean, not too much, you know. I still got to work tomorrow. So we'll see here. Tony C's gonna find out if there's an update for his Discord. Reminder, download all the shows that are available for download on iTunes up until, you know, anything before last Monday's
Shining. Don't need an update. Okay, good. Didn't need an update.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's Discord fault.
All right, well.
You call me on the payphone, page me, I'll answer.
That's what I needed to do. I need to call you on the payphone like Surfer did that chick.
Absolutely.
As Tony Atlas used to say, you can call him on my cell phone.
On the cell phone. Exactly.
On cell phone. Absolutely.
Oh, man. Too funny. And I think that bastard is trying to get on Young Rock, by the way.
That's hysterical.
You want this moment in the sun, man.
He's a part of that history, so.
He really is.
Oh, all right, so with that said, again, we'll see everybody tomorrow night for a brand new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and don't forget to join us for the rest of the marathon until next Wednesday. Have a good night, everybody, and again, I said it before, and I'll say it again, this should have been the theme song for Stand and Deliver.
No, you have to do it. That's right, he didn't die. Never mind.
Surfer, he's not dead yet. Didn't you hear his manager? He's not dead yet. Remember. When he's dead, we'll pay proper tribute to him.
I remember.
Let them. I mean, he's not dead yet. That's all I can say. He's not dead yet. Made it very clear. He's not dead yet. Let me remind everybody. He's not dead yet. He might be dead when you hear this on a replay, but as of midnight at 12:37 a.m. on April 9th, he's not dead. Clear? He's not dead. Okay. Have a good night, everybody.